Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast, the Standard League Edition. We are here to give you a game-by-game breakdown and identify some of our favorite fantasy plays, maybe a couple of sleepers, and end with a few bold calls for Week 8. My name is John Solly. I'm the host of this PFW Fantasy Football Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. My co-host, Northwest Herald sports editor and PFW contributor Kyle Neighbors. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how are we doing in the PFW, in the Blog Talk Radio Experts League?
Well, I started out the year 0-2, mostly because of Cam Newton, and then I benched him, went on a 5-game winning streak, and then because of a bye last week, I plugged Cam Newton back in, and I promptly lost again. So I guess the idea here is don't play Cam Newton.
You're on the wrong side of the Cam coaster.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, our other co-host here, Arthur Arkish. You can find him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how's it going, man?
Everything's good, guys. I didn't think there was a worse way to start out Week 8 in fantasy than playing both Jarvis Landry and the Dolphins' defense, and then I went to another league to see I was playing against the Ravens' defense. So, it's a struggle right now, but what are you going to do?
At least you're not Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, guys, well, let's get to the games here. Let's start with the Sunday morning game, the London game, Minnesota against Cleveland. 38 is the over-under. Minnesota favored by 9.5. Looks like the Vikings might get Stephon Diggs back for this one. We'll see. It would make sense to me, at least to the Vikings, to sit him because they've got the bye after this. But he might give it a go. Kyle, who are some of the guys you've got your eye on in this Minnesota-Cleveland matchup in London?
Is Case Keenum going to start again? I'm assuming, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think if you need a streamer this week, which I'm guessing there's going to be a healthy amount of people to do, I think we have 3 or 6 teams on bye. I think Case Keenum is a guy that you can probably throw in there. The Cleveland defense has not been able to stop anyone outside of Marcus Mariota somehow last week. You can fire him up. I think anyone on Minnesota is in play here. I mean, do you guys see any reason not to just load up on Minnesota if you have them?
No, my only reservation, Kyle, would actually maybe be Stephon Diggs, because I think John makes an astute point about the Week 9 bye, and you just have to look at the game script, possibility of it not favoring the Vikings passing game, period, and mostly the guy coming off whatever, it'll be a 3-game layoff, so... I'd be a little leery over him. I know fans are probably a little owners are impatient to get him back in the lineup. But he's the one guy I think I might have some trepidation regarding.
Do you think McKinnon or Murray goes off this week in this one? Because Cleveland does have a good rush defense. I'm more apt for McKinnon because I think he's a guy that still gets more work than Murray. And now because you're facing a decent rush defense, I think McKinnon's a pretty good flex or even RB2 play this week.
Yeah, I have him plugged in as my RB2. I think he's got the higher ceiling in this matchup.
Yeah, no argument. He's going to have the higher ceiling every week. I mean, I've got RB9 overall on him, but I really think you can probably play both these guys because I think this one's going to be ugly. Remember, the Browns won't have Joe Thomas, Deshaun Kizer going back in. Speaking of great plays, that Vikings defense, one play of the week at that position.
Lock and load with that. Yeah. All right, guys, let's move on to the main slate. We'll start with the Bears at New Orleans. 47.5 is the over-under. New Orleans favored by 9 at home. Arthur, I want to start with you. I want to get your general take on this game, because I think this one could be interesting.
Yeah, two interesting clubs, two of the hotter clubs, particularly New Orleans, obviously having won 4 straight and doing it largely with the defense and the run game, which is pretty fascinating. Drew Brees has had a couple picks each of the past 2 weeks. They've been able to overcome those, though. So there was a little scare early in the week with Michael Thomas missing Wednesday practice with a knee injury, but it sounds like all systems go there. So, you're obviously going to feel good about Michael Thomas. And Ted Ginn had himself a nice game. He's going to likely avoid Kyle Fuller some, so that's a pretty good situation. I love both Saints backs. I don't know about the Bears. I think the 9 points, it seems a little crazy. I think it could be closer than that. But I also think this is the game where it could potentially come down to Mitch Trubisky's right arm, which we've barely seen. And the only time we've seen it when they needed him to win a game, obviously we know how it ended with the interception versus Minnesota. So I think it'll be competitive. I think you go with all your Saints, even though the Bears defense is playing well. But I have a hard time believing the Bears are going to pull off this upset here. What do you guys think?
I can't believe that we're to the point where you're now having to say that some receiver is going to avoid Kyle Fuller. First off, that's quite the change. I think this game is going to be lower scoring than people think. The Saints defense is once again legit. I shouldn't say legit, but it's a lot better than people gave it credit for early in the season. I don't think the Bears are going to take any chances unless they have to. I think New Orleans is happy to run the ball. They've established Mark Ingram. They are able to use Alvin Kamara, not just on the ground, but in the passing game. I think this is going to be a game where you're going to see a lot of kind of sustained drives, maybe not a lot of touchdowns out of it, but a lot of drives that take up time. I like the running backs in this game. I'm not really thrilled with any of the receivers, particularly with Michael Thomas having the knee injury.
So you guys don't think the Bears open it up and throw it like 13 times?
13 might be a good over-under.
I fully expect Trubisky will set a new high in pass attempts. So, yes, I think they're going to have to open it up a little bit. But, again, who are you going to rely on? Maybe you look after the bye against that Packers secondary if you had a chance to get Dontrell Inman, because he is going to be a major factor in the offense in the second half of the season.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Atlanta at the New York Jets, 44.5 is the over-under. Atlanta favored by 6 on the road. Kyle, I know we've been frustrated with Julio Jones and how Atlanta has used him this year, but he's still getting there, so obviously you're going to fire up Julio, but is there anyone else in this game that you really have any sort of confidence in?
Not really. I mean, you're going to play Matt Ryan still in this matchup, even though he has not produced it in other cushy matchups. You're going to continue, I would think, to throw him out there. Well, let me ask Arthur, are we getting to the point now where you start looking at to other places for Matt Ryan other than Matt Ryan at quarterback?
I've got him as QB 15 this week, so there's a good chance owners have better options. I have him one spot ahead of Josh McCown, and I was reluctant to even do that. So a good piece at our site, profootballweekly.com, this week from Eric Edholm, who was in Foxborough for that game Sunday night. I'd encourage people to go find it. It talks about sort of the predictable nature of the Falcons offense under Steve Sarkisian right now, and you have to remember what they were like in year one under Kyle Shanahan. It was really bad. Situational football, terrible. And we're seeing a lot of the same things. So I don't think the Falcons offense will be down for good. I am kind of reaching the point where I want to see some success first before I feel good about it. John, does that make sense? Does that sound kind of crazy?
No, it makes total sense to me. I think until Steve Sarkisian starts running the offense a little bit differently, you have to approach the Atlanta offense with some trepidation. You're still going to fire up Julio, but you know, I think, like we've been saying, if you've got a better option at QB than Matt Ryan, you have to play it.
Yeah. What do you guys think about the Jets backs? For our TV show this week, I grabbed Matt Forte as my pickup of the week just because of his usage has been interesting. But what do you guys think goes on there? There's not much else to talk about with the Jets other than Austin Seferian Jenkins, and if you're going to stream Josh McCown.
I think there's just too many guys getting touches in that backfield. John, do you have any interest?
Matt Forte was missing practice this week, but he did practice on Friday. We're recording this Friday afternoon. Okay. So I had some interest in Bilal Powell, but not so much anymore. Too many heads, too many guys to feed.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next one. I think this game has some real fantasy goodness in it. It's Carolina at Tampa Bay. 46 is the over-under. Tampa Bay favored by 1.5 at home. Arthur, I know we kind of joked with Kyle about Cam Newton and how it's produced 3 losses, I think, for Kyle in the Experts League so far. But I think this is a week that you really shouldn't be afraid to fire up Cam against a banged-up and bad Tampa Bay secondary.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if you drafted him, these are the type of matchups you did it for. Kyle and I sat next to each other in the Soldier Field press box for that horror show of a Carolina offense last week, but we can't just completely forget that it was really good on the road prior to this past Sunday. So you mentioned that Tampa Bay defense is just a dumpster fire. It made the Bills offense look really good last week. So I think you got to roll him back out there. And I wish we had a ledger on how Cam responds after he does something stupid during the week of preparation. But obviously we're talking about that again and another just immature act by him walking off the podium Thursday, I think it was. So Either way, I think you got to roll with him. I think even maybe more interesting, Ron Rivera said Cameron Artis Payne could be more involved in the Carolina backfield. What should Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart owners make of that, Kyle?
Well, you're in trouble if you have Jonathan Stewart to begin with.
That's true.
Yeah, you mentioned we were there in the press box. I don't know how many times we just kind of chuckled watching Jonathan Stewart run into the back of his offensive lineman and then fall down. He's not good. Just stop giving him the ball. I think Christian McCaffrey is interested in this matchup. I mean, the amount of receiving work he's getting, if just keep plugging him in if you play in a PPR league. I love all the receiving options in this game. Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess on the other side, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson. Love all those guys this week. I'll pose a personal question here. So if we're talking about Cam Newton, so now you guys are making me have to make a decision here between Cam Newton against Tampa Bay and DeSean Watson at Seattle.
John?
Cam. Yeah, I know Watson's been, fantasy's number one quarterback for the last month. I don't like this matchup. I don't like the turmoil in Houston. I'm sure we'll get to that. And I like Cam's matchup so much better.
He's just smacked me around so much this year.
Yeah, I think so. I'm in agreement with John, and actually I have my QB rankings. I have Watson as QB8 and Cam Newton as QB9, but those were, of course, made before that turmoil John referred to in Houston, and actually even before Cam did something else dumb off the field. So it's just a matchup thing. I mean, the Seattle defense is nasty. That's the toughest home field advantage in the NFL for a rookie to go into that. I think you got to go with a little bit more experienced guy.
All right, you convinced me.
All right. Well, can't wait to be wrong on that one. let's move on to another game that is interesting from a fantasy perspective. San Francisco at Philadelphia, 45 is the over-under. Philadelphia favored by 12.5 at home. But Kyle, we got to watch the weather on this one, don't we?
Yeah, we talked about this in DFS, and this is going to be something that you need to watch in yearly, too. There is a large storm system moving up the East Coast, or predicted to move up the East Coast this weekend, all the way from the Washington, D.C., Philly area up into New England. They're talking heavy rain and high wind. It really could put a damper on games. Arthur, I don't know, have you paid any attention to this yet?
No, Kyle, I want to hear you do another weather forecast. That was awesome.
That's the 2 years I spent studying meteorology coming back there.
Holy cow. I could tell. That was really cool. I was unaware, though, of any conditions that were brewing for Sunday. It sounds to me like what you just described is a LeGarrette Blount game. I already felt awesome about him just because of course, the huge disparity with 12-point favorites for Philly, and it just feels like a Blount game. But yeah, I don't know if there's anyone else to add to that. Maybe it would be, I don't know, if you're looking for a quick passing game. I mean, maybe Wendell Smallwood too, and you just lean on those Eagles backs this week, I guess, huh?
Yeah, so I was interested in Wendell Smallwood early in the week, and I have several guys I'm buying. I might end up having to play him anyway. But I was doing a little research. I can't remember which of the Eagles beat writer had mentioned this, but apparently he missed two or three different blitz pickups, and they weren't very happy with him about it. So I'm wondering if we're going to see some blowback this week from that.
Okay. I didn't realize that either. The only other thing to consider, you're talking about an undrafted rookie in Corey Clement, I think, is the only other option. So because, they don't want Blount in there, I don't think, on passing downs. But I was unaware of that. So I guess that does add another little wrinkle. And Smallwood was rather disappointing, actually, coming back from his injury a week ago too.
Yeah, I'm. Is there another running back in that rotation that I'm that we're forgetting about? I feel like there was a fourth guy.
Yeah,
that
you're right. It's Barner. Kenyon Barner, right?
Yeah. I think all four of them had touches last week.
Okay.
And guys, obviously, if the weather does kind of hold off or is not as bad as we expect, Carson Wentz is a guy that could end up being QB1 for the week, and Alshon Jeffery is finally in a decent matchup, and another guy that can go off. Nelson Aguilar is a guy that we have to be interested in, along with on the San Francisco side, Pierre Garçon, right?
Yes, and I don't mind home run hitters and Torrey Smith, and if Marquise Goodwin is able to go, I don't mind that either. I think both of these defenses are susceptible to giving up big plays.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game. Another one that maybe the win gets up there too. Oakland at Buffalo, 45.5 is the over-under. Buffalo favored by 2.5 at home. And Arthur, the Amari Cooper breakthrough finally happened last week.
It sure did. What a wild game that was. It was so funny. It was going on, of course, as the Cubs were bowing out in the NLCS, and so I didn't think I was going to be watching much of it. And then, of course, the Cubs just are getting the doors blown off by like the second inning, and I turn it over. The first two things I see are Amari Cooper drops, and little did I know he already had about $150 receiving and 2 touchdowns, and he was almost just as good in the second half. So. Super encouraging, and I would have normally, he gets a tough matchup now going to see Tre'Davious White, who's been as good as any rookie corner, but the Bills have injuries elsewhere throughout the secondary. No Jordan Poyer, no EJ Gaines this week, I don't believe, so I think it's set up for not only Cooper to build on what he did, but you know, Jared Cook, look at what the Bills secondary did for OJ Howard last week, and Michael Crabtree has been pretty darn consistent, of course, and comes off the first of the 5 game winners we thought we saw.
And Kyle, man, the Buffalo side, LeSean McCoy, you know, I think finally rewarded owners with that massive game, and I don't see any reason why that stops this week.
Yeah, I was preaching patience all along with LeSean McCoy. He had some tough matchups early. I think you're finally starting to see some of these softer matchups start to line up for him. I think it's going to be another big week. He's just got so high of a usage rate, particularly in the passing game. I love him. I like Tyrod Taylor as a streamer again this week. He's been smashing at home the last couple of years. I don't respect this Oakland defense. What's the over-under for this game?
45.5, and by the way, Oakland secondary banged up, 2 guys ruled out.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take the over in this game.
Yeah, I think I'll join you on that. All right, let's move on to another game. Indianapolis at Cincinnati, 42 is the over-under. Cincinnati favored by 10.5 at home. And do you like Andy Dalton as a streamer this week? I think he's a guy that I think you have to consider if you need a streaming quarterback, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, anyone against the Indianapolis defense, we talked in the DFS podcast. I don't think he's got that high of a ceiling, but I also think he's got a pretty high floor if you need someone to plug in this week. I guess the question to me is, if you're looking for someone that could be a potential buy low target for him, who is he going to target outside of AJ Green? Arthur, you have any idea?
No, I don't, unfortunately. I mean, I had mentioned in my exploit and avoid column this week, Brandon LaFell is a decent play. He's gotten, I believe, what, 17, 18 combined targets the past 2 weeks now, as finally we're starting to see that WR2 settle in a little bit in Cincinnati, but now throwing a wrench in things. It sounds like John Ross could finally come back this week. So if I'm looking for someone other than Green, it honestly, I know the volume isn't necessarily there, but Tyler Kroft has touchdowns in 3 consecutive games, at least 5 targets along the way. And of course, the Colts just lost Malik Hooker. I don't know what the status of Rashawn Melvin and Vontae Davis are, but I think that's another really banged up secondary. So
Melvin's out.
Yeah, and he's been their best. He's been their best cover guy. So, I guess keep an eye on the status of John Ross. I don't know if he's going to go down to a game time decision. Certainly, if he's inactive, I think Brandon LaFell is a fine play, but it would muddle things a little bit if the rookie's back.
Guys, are the Colts going to get shut out 2 weeks in a row?
Maybe.
It's a good Bengals defense. If they do, I don't know how you keep stringing along Chuck Pagano here. I mean, just do it. Just put him out of his misery. But who knows? Jim Irsay has never done that in season before.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the next one. Chargers at New England. 48 is the over-under. New England favored by 7 at home. Another game where we got to watch the weather, potentially a torrential downpour during this one. But assuming the weather is not too bad, Arthur, this is a game that has a lot of fantasy goodness. I think you could fire up just about any of your guys on either side of the ball in this one.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, the usual suspects, in particular for the Chargers, of course. Hunter Henry is a great matchup for him. He's finally getting unlocked, so that's really encouraging. You have to imagine this should be a 30-touch game for Melvin Gordon or something close to it. And, you know, Keenan Allen has certainly been generating the consistent volume to feel good about throwing him out there every week. I wonder, though, guys, we saw the Patriots really try and lean on that rushing attack. They've actually been getting away from the passing game more and more for three or four straight weeks now, and they haven't seen a better pass rushing tandem than they're going to Sunday, of course, with Bosa and Ingram. So obviously you're going to play your studs through the air for New England, but Kyle, do you think this is kind of setting up to be another maybe run-heavy script for the Patriots against a pretty shoddy Chargers run, D?
Yeah, I think so, and you are right. You're seeing New England kind of trying to reestablish itself with the ground game, and not just that, on the defensive side of the ball, you're seeing them... They don't have the playmakers on defense, so they're trying to kind of just take away those chunk plays, play a lot more zone. So you're seeing them kind of go away from that explosive offense they had early in the season. The question is, who takes over that role in the backfield? You know, it kind of looks like Deion Lewis, but he still isn't getting that high of a snap count. James White's still on the field a lot. Mike Gillisley is kind of seems like the odd man out, because Rex Burkhead, when he is getting on the field, he's getting some pretty good chunk plays himself. That's my problem. I just have trouble figuring out which one I feel comfortable with.
Yeah, it's tough. I think Lewis, I think he extended his streak of leading the backfield in touches, but like you said, the snaps haven't been there, and I got a funny feeling before it's all said and done, we're going to be talking a lot more about Rex Burkhead. I don't know if that happens as soon as this Sunday or not, but he really did look good before breaking the ribs early on, and I think his Patriots debut. So, or maybe his early in week two, I can't remember. But gosh, guys, we know. I mean, if you played fantasy for 1 year, never mind close to a decade like all of us, we know the perils that go along with trying to guess what's going to happen in that Belichick backfield. So the last thing I would add on this one is just Nate Soldier, guys. It's a tough story. I feel horrible for him with all the stuff going on off the field, but he's really not playing well, and Atlanta couldn't get to Brady last week, but just remember, as recently as 2 weeks ago, Tampa Bay beat him up. Brady's getting beat up, and I just have to think it's going to be a quick passing game and really limited shots down the field in this one.
Sounds like an Amendola type week. All right, let's move on to a game that suddenly has a whole lot of real life intrigue, and that is Houston at Seattle. 45.5 is the current over under as of Friday afternoon, with Seattle favored by 6 at home. Guys, let's assume that everyone on Houston gets on the plane to Seattle, which is at this point, I think, is no guarantee. DeAndre Hopkins, of course, took a personal day from practice. Texans players reportedly considered a walkout from Friday's practice following team owner Bob McNair's inmate comment, which was produced in an ESPN piece this week. And Bob McNair has come out and apologized for that. But a lot of strife going on in Houston right now. So for fantasy purposes, let's assume everybody gets on the plane. Kyle, you know, you have Deshaun Watson on your roster. This is not the most fantastic matchup for him. What's your take on the Houston side of things for this game?
Well, you see, you guys are scaring me is what's happening here. I'm going to let Arthur tackle this one, because I have too much invested with between Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller. So I'll let Arthur see or give me his take on what to expect from him.
Well, as frightening as the tone-deaf nature of McNair's comments were, I think I'm equally as scared by the Seahawks defense. And Will Fuller, I believe, has been doing a lot of his damage lined up on the right side. That, of course, is the defensive left side where Richard Sherman is at. So that's sort of the troubling. Well, there's about 12 different troubling elements of what's going on with the Texans right now. But DeAndre Hopkins would have seemed to get a favorable matchup, because, again, I think he lines up a lot on the left. But now you kind of have to worry about that. And, you know, I'm off Lamar Miller at this point. I like the volume, but 3.8 yards per carry. We've seen this film before with the Texans. So don't feel real good about him in this one. I just don't know who else you'd really feel good about other than DeAndre Hopkins. What do you think, John?
Yeah, Hopkins is the only guy that that I really like on the Houston side of this matchup. On the Seattle side, though, I think there's a lot of fantasy goodness in the air here. Russell Wilson is a guy that has turned it on recently. Houston's defense is obviously without Watt and merciless. I think Doug Baldwin is in a smash spot. I think Jimmy Graham, if he can hang onto the ball, is in a smash spot. And I don't mind firing up, if you really need to, in a deep flex position, Tyler Lockett or Paul Richardson.
Are we ever going to be able to differentiate between the two of them, though?
No, we're not.
I know, you know, Richardson's a big guy. They can both run or whatever, but that almost kind of feels like the same as the Seattle backfield, the picking and choosing thing.
Yeah, it's six of one, half dozen of the other when it comes to those two. But if you really needed someone, I don't think this is a bad matchup.
Okay. Yeah, I do think Seattle's going to put some points on the board here. But yeah, Paul Richardson in particular, I think he's down to, I think he only had two targets last week. I know he had a big touchdown, but that's probably not something I want to lean on at this point.
All right, let's move on to the next game, Dallas and Washington. 49 is the over-under. Dallas favored by 2 on the road. A little bit of news out of this in that Washington's offensive line pretty banged up going into this one. I believe the center is already out, and two other guys listed as questionable and haven't really practiced much this week. So what looks like a really high-scoring game, maybe coming down a little bit. Arthur, I want to get your take on this game here, Dallas and Washington.
I wish it was on a Tuesday. I was going to throw out it's finally Taco Tuesday. Taco Charlton may get going, but Washington's wide receiving core is hard to figure right now. Obviously, Terrell Pryor gets benched last week, and it's mostly Josh Doctson. But it feels like if there's been anything consistent about that Washington passing game, at least outside of Kirk Cousins and Chris Thompson, it's how inconsistent it's been trying to figure out those dudes. So I don't know how that changes this week, which is unfortunate because I don't really trust that Dallas defense still. And on the Cowboys side, I love Jason Witten this week because I watched what Zach Ertz did, of course, to Washington, and I've watched what tight ends have been doing consistently to them. So I think Witten's in a really good spot. I believe it's going to be another Josh Norman-less week, so you'd feel great about Des Bryant, obviously, and Zeke Elliott's week 7 kind of speaks for itself. So, I could see some points in this one. I just I'm kind of confounded by what's going on with Kirk Cousins in that offense right now. Can anyone sort me out at all?
Not really. Josh Doctson does look like he's going to get the start, but I don't know if that means he's going to be on the field all that much. I still think that this game, I think Washington's going to put points on the board, particularly if the weather holds up. Welcome back to fantasy relevance, Jordan Reed. It's nice to have you here. I think he's in line for another big week. I love Chris Thompson this week as well. John, how about you?
Yeah, I like those guys. I think if you're looking to the Washington offense outside of Kirk Cousins, I really like Cousins this week. I think it's got to be Reed and Thompson. I can't figure out the wide receivers.
Yeah,
thank you for reminding me, guys. I totally failed to mention Jordan Reed. Was it 2 touchdowns and double-digit catches, right? That was quite the bounce back for him.
Yeah, and he has historically beat up on the Cowboys. So if you remember what he did to him on Thanksgiving last year, that was a good example of it.
Definitely.
Great call. If owners have been patient enough waiting on Reed, obviously they're going to be running to set their lineup with him this week. Good call, Kyle.
All right, let's move on to the Sunday night game. Pittsburgh at Detroit. 47 is the over-under. Pittsburgh favored by 3 on the road. Guys, we can finally stop talking about Martavis Bryant, who got demoted to the scout squad. It looks like Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy that I think should at the very least be stashed on your bench. Kyle, I want to get your take on this one. Obviously, you're playing Bell and Brown. Is there anybody else that you like in this matchup? It's a 47 over or under game, but outside of those two, I'm not really loving a lot of plays here.
Yeah, I'm not ready to trust Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm interested to see if Golden Tate plays. Earlier in the week, it sounded like he was going to be out for multiple weeks, and now here he is questionable to play on Sunday. I think maybe the play is the Pittsburgh defense. I have no respect for the Detroit offense. I like the Pittsburgh defense quite a bit, actually. Arthur, are you giving any respect to Detroit?
No, not really. But I do, they're coming off the bye, so they should theoretically be a little bit healthier. Obviously, like you said, Golden Tate is the big question because I don't think any of us really trust Marvin Jones, even when he's going to be guaranteed a ton of chances. Stafford's been sacked, I think, 11 combined times the past 2 weeks, and is, you know, kind of the ball security that has helped him break out over the past year plus has kind of gotten away from him. So I agree with the Steelers' defense. I kind of do like Juju Smith-Schuster, though, I think, just because this is the first opportunity we get to see where there's literally no Martavis, so you should see a full workload for Juju, I would think. And it's Antonio Brown who's going to get Darius Slay, and people have been targeting Nevin Lawson, the Lions' second cornerback, a little bit. So as a kind of streaming option or just sort of a bye week replacement, I think you could do a lot worse than Juju.
All right, well, let's move on to the Monday night game then, and then we'll finish up with our bold calls. Denver at Kansas City, 43 is the over-under. Kansas City favored by 7 at home. Man, I think I like Demaryius Thomas and Travis Kelce. I want to get your guys' take on Kareem Hunt in this matchup. What do you guys think of Hunt here? Because he's been certainly outstanding for the first part of the fantasy season, but I feel like he's starting to come back to earth a little bit, and I don't like him going up against this Denver defense.
I don't like the fact that Andy Reid just forgets to use him for long stretches of time.
Yeah, that too. He can go like half a quarter or even a full quarter without realizing that Kareem Hunt's on his team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, yes and no. I don't disagree per se, but guys, he's on pace for 350 touches, so Andy Reid has to be careful. I mean, he's taking the long view here. He thinks his team's playing into January, so I don't really have a huge problem with that. I do think it's a tough spot for him. Obviously, you're starting him, but I expect a really spirited effort from this Broncos D. They did their part last week, obviously, but Trevor Siemian and the offense getting shut out. So I think it's going to be an angry group, and I think they're going to play well. Not for this week. I mean, you know, of course you're feeling great about Travis Kelce because everything goes to the tight ends against that Broncos passing game. So not for this week. But what about DeMarcus Robinson? Is he someone who might gain some fantasy relevance before this thing is done? He's kind of become that WR2 opposite Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, it's almost been by necessity, but I think if you look at the overall market share of Kansas City, you know, it's Hunt and Hill and Kelce, and then I think it's a pretty big drop-off.
Right.
John, I want to pose this question to you because I posed it to Arthur, I want to say, up in the press box last Sunday. This is my personal feeling. I think Denver might be the worst team in the AFC West.
Whew.
That's not a bold prediction, John. That was just that's just a hot take. That's an extra one.
it's a hot take.
I mean, you kind of go through the West, and it's them and the Chargers, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even have to overthink this thing. It's a quarterback league, and their quarterback is so far and away the fourth out of four. So, yeah, I don't think it's insane. I just wonder if they can get back to running the football. You know, it's a sentiment thing, but there's no one I want to see break out more this week than Jamal Charles going back into Arrowhead.
Jamal Charles revenge game.
Ooh, that would be fun.
It would be, but and then you saw, I think, Devontae Booker out-snapped him either last week or 2 weeks ago. So it's crowded. We knew C.J. Anderson was going to fade. Is someone going to rise, you know, to kind of coincide with that?
This week it'll be Jamal Charles. Denver has said they're going to get him more touches going forward.
Oh, I hope so. It'd be so awesome to see.
That would be nice. Sure. I'll get on board with a desperation flex Jamal Charles play if you're in like a 18.
I've got him as RB31, so he's in flex. He's in flex range anyway.
Throwing it back to 2012.
There you go. All right, guys. Let's close out the podcast as we do each week with our bold calls. Arthur, let's start with you. Do you have a bold call for this week?
Yeah, I do. I'm going back to Buffalo, and not just because I want to hear another weather forecast from Kyle, but I'm focused on those two banged up secondaries, and I'm focused on the guy who somehow is flying under the radar as the Bills WR1 in Jordan Matthews. He got back early from the broken thumb. Only two catches last week. Very, very, you know, non-exciting game, but I think that changes this week. Oakland is down David Amerson. They're going to be without Carl Joseph. They're going to be without Gary and Conley. And I think Tyrod and Jordan Matthews hook up in a big way. And I think we see, if not a low-end WR1, a high-end WR2 to get Matthews back on the radar.
Okay, that's a bold call. Kyle, let's get your bold call for the week.
I'm going to go ahead and say that the Tampa Bay secondary woes continue. As much as I don't want to trust Cam Newton, I will trust Kelvin Benjamin to get behind the defense. I'm going to take him as a wide receiver one.
You're going to take Kelvin Benjamin as a wide receiver one. I'm going to stay very close to you, Kyle, and say Cam Newton is QB one for this week. Overall, I love him in this matchup.
You're breaking my heart right now.
Hey guys, just real quick, just selfishly, because I made this trade. I know we're about out of time, but just one answer. You just say the name. Who would you rather have rest of the season, Kelvin Benjamin or Doug Martin?
Benjamin.
Benjamin, yes.
Shoot. All right, thanks, guys.
All right. Well, for Arthur Arkish, who is immediately regretting the trade he made, and Kyle Neighbors, my name is John Solly. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.